Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you all. God bless you all on this blessed Wednesday night. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN, at gmail.com. And once again, where the Lord gives them to us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So before we go into the message tonight, I ask that wherever you listen to me at, that you would join in with me in prayer as we petition the Lord Jesus Christ together for the presence of his Spirit to be with us. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are grateful for another day that you have blessed us to see. And Father, we want to thank you for putting the breath in our body and giving us the opportunity to petition you for the presence of your Spirit. Now, Lord, we need your Spirit. Without your Spirit, we can know nothing. So, Lord God, we pray tonight for the presence of the Holy Ghost to be with us as we take this journey once again into your word. And Father, my personal prayer also for me and on behalf of the people that's listening, that God, that through your Spirit, you would deal with me to deliver your message in its pureness, unadulterated, Lord God, and not mixed with any tradition, but Lord God, that I would deliver it under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Father, I ask tonight that you would word my mouth for your glory, that you may be glorified and lifted up. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I am grateful for this opportunity you have given me, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise be to God. I want to look in Matthew chapter 24 tonight. And it may not be just there tonight. The title of this message is Christ Coming and Noah's Days. And I submitting more to the Lord to give me more what to say. But this subject came to me today. Actually, I was planning to come with something else, but this came to me today, and I thank God for it. Matthew chapter 24. I want to say a few things tonight, or whatever the Spirit of the Lord give me to say. Since the Spirit of the living God listen to me now. In Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 24. I want to read three different verses in this 24th chapter that has a common denominator. This is the title of the message, Christ Coming and Noah's Days. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now we go to look at verse 42. Verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord don't come." And the last verse we want to look at here is verse 44. He said, "Therefore, be ye also ready, For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I read those three verses for a reason. And the common denominator we see in here is that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is telling us that concerning the coming of Christ, no man. In fact, he even went a step further. He said, not even the angels of heaven knows the time that Christ is going to return. We know we're living in the last days, but we don't know the exact time that Christ is going to return. In fact, he has mentioned this three times in the same chapter and verses close to each other. Many times when you see the Lord repeating something over and over, he's trying to get this point over to us. So God is telling us, hey, I don't care if you come across someone that has great knowledge in me, there's no need of you asking them when is Jesus going to return. He goes a step further and tells you, I don't care if you get a visitation from an angel, from one of my angels. There is no need of you asking him the day that Christ is going to return. Because Jesus said, no man knows. In fact, he said, that day and hour knoweth no man. Don't no man know the exact day. Don't no man know the hour. He said, not even the angels of heaven. So in other words, there is no need of asking. If you get a visitation from the angel of God, let me advise you. If you got a list full of questions, make sure that it's not one of your questions. I want to say something to some of my brothers and sisters out there, especially those in the ministry. And I don't mean to be rude. I have to say this because I have been seeing this over some years around this subject right here. Many of us need to stop trying to give exact dates of Christ's return. In fact, we need to quit estimating, or what someone may term guesstimating. Because it has gotten pretty bad, okay? Some ministers try to give numbers or dates of Christ's return because, once again, we are told to study the Word of God. But some think because they have so many hours of study that they automatically know. Listen, God told us to study to show ourselves approved, and that's what we must do. But I don't care how many hours of studying you put in, you can miss the boat. Okay? So you can miss it. Now, I want to say to those of you that are doing it, that's coming up with these dates, even when you're guesstimating or estimating, well, I think it's going to be around about 10 years here, be back. Leave it alone. Please stop it. Okay? Because I want to say something on that lines there. There are some people who are what I call very, very closely listening to what you say. Now, we say, yes, we want people to listen to us. I get that. But we also, as ministers, have to be careful of what we say. Because some things you can say to people, they will wrap their whole heart around. Okay? Hallelujah. And when someone comes to say, when is Jesus going to return? And you said, well, I think he's going to return probably somewhere around 10 years. Please stop it. Stop it. We just see here in the scriptures three different occasions in the same chapter that Christ kept saying, no man knows the day or the hour. So some of you would say, Brother Nate, well, then how do I answer the question? If someone sincerely, honestly, no trickery, no deception, comes to me and say, Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, what day is Christ going to return? What do I tell him? You tell him what the word said. There is no man knows no day, no hour, the day that Christ returned. In fact, the angels don't know. See, there are some things that is not, quote, given for us to know. Now, you said, what do you mean? Well, think back to the book of Acts chapter 1, okay? And remember, hallelujah, that when Jesus
going back up into heaven, okay? And the disciples actually said, and the question was in Acts chapter 1, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And what was Jesus' answer? Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Did you hear that? Some things God has reserved unto himself. And when he tells you that no man knoweth, not even the angels, but then he tells you to be ye ready, that means that time is reserved unto himself. So there is no need of us sitting here trying to estimate or guesstimate or whatever you want to call it, coming up with a ballpark figure number. See, one of the things that hurt us as the human race, Christian and non-Christian, is that we want numbers to things. I mean, we want dates, I put it this way. Like, for example, if God spoke a prophetic word through somebody to you or a word of wisdom and say, I'm going to bless you financially, the first thing we want to know is what? What day? Amen. See, here's the thing. It's not about us knowing first, is this God saying this to me? Now, when we do get that it is God, the next thing we want to know is what day. Why? Because we to be honest with you, many times we don't want to walk by faith. This is one of the reasons why God hold back numbers. Because if you had knowledge of what day, then why would you have to walk in faith? You understand what I'm saying? So when God says, no man knoweth, not even the angels, and then he tells you to watch and be ye ready, for you know not the time at the time that you think that the Son of Man cometh not. He's coming. But still, out of those three verses, he gave you not a number of a day. He didn't even give you a time. He didn't say, I'm coming October the 25th, 2030 at 10:30. He didn't say none of that. And what really grieves me, I remember about 19 years ago now. I heard this particular minister on TV, and this person had asked him that question about when do you think Christ's going to return. And, you know, you start thinking to yourself, well, surely he's going to say what the verse we just read. Surely he's not going to try to come up with some kind of ballpark figure. And sure enough, he did. He went so far, if I'm not mistaken, if I still remember this, he said somewhere around 10 years or something like that. And I remember at that time I was thinking to myself, why did you do that? Why did you say that? See, sometimes people, we got to just speak the word and leave it at that instead of trying to dissect and under our own reasoning. And see, this is one of the reasons why sometimes we get in trouble and we come with the wrong stuff, okay? This word right here, as we looked at tonight, it's one of those words right here that the only thing you need to do is tell them exactly what Jesus said and leave it at that. You understand what I'm saying? If someone comes to me and says, Brother Nate, what day is Christ going to return? I'm going to speak these scriptures right here that we read. If they come again, but yeah, man, you ain't telling me a day. I said, well, Jesus didn't tell the day. Come like that. I'm not going to go, well, listen, we got wars going on now, which might last another 5 years and blah, 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 may last three, and this may last two. Oh, somewhere about 11 or 12 years. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. And sometimes I think that we fail to realize who's actually listening to what we say. Now, I'm not saying that none of us make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But what I'm saying is this right here. When Christ said, no man know the day or the hour, one thing he tell you to do, said, don't even ask the ones that you have seen God use mightily or have given great revelation. Don't even ask them that question because they don't know. If you get an angelic visitation, do not make that one of the questions on your list that you want to ask the angel, because he can't tell you. Okay? Hallelujah. And see, we're messing up because there are people just like the rapture teaching. Now, I love my brothers and sisters who are teaching it, but it is true. The word God said that we will be caught up. But here's the problem. The setting or the timing is put in the wrong area. This teaching of the rapture says we're going to be raptured up before the great tribulation. We're going to be raptured up before the Antichrist comes upon the scene, blah, blah, blah. And we're going to be snatched up any day. That's not true. But there are so many genuine, true, honest and heart people that has taken that in. There are so many people that have wrapped their whole heart around. When I'm talking about, I wish I could find words to describe it. I wish Webster would jump out and say something at me to get some descriptive word about how some people's hearts is just wrapped around that rapture. That's, to me, that's all what they're living for now. Is be snatched up any day. In fact, some of them is not even worried about living in holiness now, because they feel like they saved, that's good enough, and anything they anyway they're going to be gone. You understand what I'm saying? And that makes it, and what makes that so dangerous is because, remember in this 24th chapter, when Jesus talks about, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus talks about the faithful servant and the evil servant. And remember what he said about the evil servant, when the evil servant will say, "My Lord delayeth his coming." Well, what would be one of the reasons why that servant would say that? One of the reasons would be why, because maybe possibly he was told he would be gone at a certain time, and he's not. Because in the rapture teaching, many of them teach that Christ is coming to get his people, snatch him up. Well, what if you look up, and here go the Antichrist, but you ain't snatched up? What are you going to say? God, Jesus ain't coming, right? Amen. I know many of us would say that. If you had your heart wrapped around that you're going to be snatched up any day before the great tribulation, because that's the teaching of the rapture now, that you won't have to face the Antichrist. You won't have to go to great tribulation. That's the teaching. And what if you find yourself and find out that the Antichrist is on the scene now and you're still here? And then this great tribulation is going on and you're still here. Well, what do you think the first response is going to be of some of the people? "My Lord delayeth his coming." He ain't coming. Amen. I have heard some people say, "I'm glad I'm going to be gone, because this stuff that's going to happen, I ain't got what it takes to make it." I didn't hear some professing Christians say that, because their whole heart is wrapped on, "I'm going to be gone any day." Now, just imagine if you went and told them, "Christ coming back in about 11 years. What do you think that some of them going to look for? 11 years. You understand what I'm saying? And so Christ coming, one of the things that Jesus did was told us events that would happen before he returned. Now, there's some numbers he give about, for example, when he talks about the Antichrist, when the Antichrist ruled with the iron fist, when you look in 13th chapter of Revelation, he speaks about 42 months, 3.5 years, okay? But he didn't say 3.5 years from what year to what year. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't say 3.5 years from 2020 to 2024 or something like that. You understand what I'm saying? Certain numbers God give, but he did not give a date to this thing about when Christ will return. And I really want to say this, and I say this with the love of God to many of my brothers and sisters who are doing this good thing, please stop. Because, yes, we must preach the return of Christ. I'm not talking about that. But quit trying to come up with certain numbers. "Oh, I think it'll be around 2035, somewhere in there, 2030. Leave it alone. When they ask you the question, just say what the word says. See, some of us is trying to give numbers, just like, for example, remember in John chapter 1, it said, "In the beginning was the Word with God, and the Word was God. So what if somebody came to you and said, you know, I want to know how old is God? When was his birthday? How would it look if you sit up there and go and say, well, the earth was made so many years ago, and then Lucifer was an angel in heaven, got kicked out, blah, blah, and I'm thinking about roughly God may be about 3 million years old. Well, how did that look? The Bible told you that in the beginning was the Word with God, and the Word was God. That's all you need to know, because there was nothing before him. There was no birth date. He existed, okay? Period. So to sit there and rack your brain and to say, well, I look at when Abraham was born. Wait, first, let's go to Adam. When Adam was created, seemed like certain trees were there, and certain trees were said to be 2 million years old. Cut it out. Please stop it, okay? Please, for the sake of the soul and for your sake, okay? Please stop it, okay? Because for the simple fact is, we have taken some things too far. And some of us have gotten great revelation from God. Don't get me wrong, have great knowledge. But sometimes we tackle a thing we don't need to tackle. Jesus had already told us, and it's just funny how he mentions this three times in the same chapter within these verses, because it's like he was getting the point over to us. No man knows. No man knows. No angels know. No man knows. Okay. In other words, Jesus said, don't even try to figure it out. The only thing we need to know is the events that leads to his return. The one thing we need to know is that he's a God of order. And see, this is where we messed up in the teaching of the rapture. We want to put Christ coming back for us ahead of all this stuff right here in the 24th chapter of Matthew that he said beforehand that should happen. Because here in verse 29, it said immediately after the tribulation of those days, not before the tribulation, but after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then, remember, then is a word of order. And then shall appear who? The sign of the Son of Man. Not before, then. But see, in the rapture teaching and preaching, we put it here before. And we're telling people, you ain't got to worry about this. You ain't going to see all this. And when the Antichrist arrives, you ain't going to see this. You ain't going to see no great tribulation. My God. My God. And I'm not saying this for a scary point, as some of us that's doing it. I want to say like this. Some people have gotten hot mad at some ministers when they have told them certain things and it ain't happened. I'm just being honest with you. This rapture teaching and preaching is deeper than what people think. It has such a stronghold on people than you think. And it's the same way when you sit up there and try to give a estimated number or year that Christ will return. Don't do it. Don't do it. Leave it alone. When I'm asked, once again, when people ask me, say, Brother Nate, what day is Christ going to return? I'm going to say, the Lord said, no man knows the day nor the hour. Well, yeah, I understand that, but he didn't give no date. No, he didn't give no date. He didn't give no hour. He just said he's coming October the 1st, 2042 at 11 p.m. He didn't say that. Because, see, for the most part, people want numbers. They want time. They want dates, okay? Amen. That's what they want. Some things, time and dates are required. But in this instance, Jesus is letting us know it is not required. Only thing you need to know is he's coming back, and you need to know the events that's going to lead up to his return. And by you not knowing the time or date, Jesus let you know it's not going to prevent you from getting ready. See, if it was a matter of it hindering you from getting ready, then possibly the Lord would give us a date. But see, he let us know that just because you have no knowledge of the day or hour, he said it's not going to hinder you from getting ready. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? It's not going to hinder you from getting ready. Hallelujah. Glory. I said the Holy Ghost. See, that's what God does in trials and tribulations. When we go through trials, notice he don't too much tell you how many days, how long, what date you're going to come out of it. Why? Because he let us know it don't prevent us from showing faith. If it were to hinder us from showing faith, then possibly he would give us a number. But it doesn't hinder. It won't prevent us from showing faith. And not knowing the day that Christ returns is not going to prevent you from getting ready. Okay? But what has happened is too many of us have taken it for granted. Amen. And we're not getting ready. Why? Because we're wrapped up in the things of this world. We're wrapped up in our careers. We're more wrapped up in getting a college degrees than we are in spending time with the Lord. Now, some of you hear me say that, say, oh, well, now, Brother Nate, you against somebody getting a college degree. No, I'm big for education, but I'm big for it having its place. And when you're putting everything else above in front of Christ, that's a problem. And I'm not going to uplift that, okay? So like I say it again. Some of us are more interested in getting our degrees, getting notoriety from people on this earth, seeking out careers, spending more time, quote, having fun, going out the more than we are spending time with Christ. When he told us, watch and be ye ready. Ain't no way in the world you can watch and be ready when our mind is way more on other stuff than it is being on Jesus. Amen. Now, some of you will hear me say that, say, well, you more spiritual, but you are at a point where you won't be no earthly good. I understand balance, but let me tell you something, which is the greater. The spiritual is the greater, okay? Because you can be earthly all you want to. You make that the greater. I tell you what, let me see all your possessions deliver you from what's coming, okay? If you more on the earthly, if you more that, you know, you can't take that, I said that about the spiritual. Let me see all your earthly possessions, all your earthly achievements. Let me see you use them to deliver you on what's coming, from what's coming. Let me see that. It ain't. Some people got 3 or 4 cars, 1 or 2 houses, all kinds of buku money. But guess what? Hallelujah. All kinds of degrees and achievement. But guess what? They are in a torment in their mind. They have no peace. They're miserable. So what does the earthly possessions do for them? Okay, what has it done? Hallelujah. I just sense the spirit of the Lord as I spoke on that, just confirming in my spirit. What has it done? Someone needed to hear that and hear that question, because I'm sensing the Holy Ghost to say it again. What has it done for you? You've been more lenient on your career and your earthly possessions. You ain't spending no time with God. You've been telling folks, well, I know I need to spend time with Jesus. And guess what you do? You go to work, seek out your career, degrees and all that. You come home, you eat, you go to sleep, and you get up. It's the same routine. But there's no Jesus in there. Period. But you are expecting him to do, but you don't want to do. So the question is, what has your, and some of you have a large quantity of earthly possessions. Like I said, some of you got 3 or 4 cars. Probably almost brand new car, 1 or 2 houses, probably a brand spanking new house. Notoriety of degrees from colleges and stuff like that and all that. But what has it done for you? You're still miserable. You are depressed. You are in a torment right now. So what having those earthly things and even the notoriety, what has it done for you? Tell me that. Hallelujah. Many of y'all have heard me throughout these broadcasts, especially lately, over these past months, keep telling you, spend time with God, spend time with God, spend time with God. Why is I'm saying that? Not just to hear myself speak. I'm telling you, this thing is more important than what you think. You think because God gave you a revelation last week about something in the scripture that you got all you need to know, and you're not putting no more effort into studying and getting spending time with God because you got that revelation that one time, and you have now built your whole Christian walk around that one revelation and saying that you're satisfied. Huh. Question. Like I said, what has the earthly possessions got you? Some said, well, Brother Nate, are you speaking against earthly possessions? No, I'm not speaking against them. I just speak against it having you. Now I'm not speaking against, you know, God wants to bless us financially and materially and all that. He wants to do that. But however, when you're putting it more important, when you're leaning more towards it, when you are seeking more of it, when you are more into it than you are into spending time with God, then there is a problem, Houston. And some of you are starting to see that even all those possessions you got and all the pats on the backs you got from people and all the popularity, you are still tormented, you're miserable, and you don't have peace. And what Jesus is allowing you to see, that without him, you can't make it. If you have all these earthly possessions, they can't do a thing for you. Like you got some people, sad to say, even in the church, dealing with music. If you play gospel, true gospel music, let me put it that way, then they act like, well, yeah, that's nice. They bored. But you put that secular music on, oh, they shaking and baking. Jumping, flipping, you name it. Oh, they getting down. And to let you know, oh, that's my song, child. But I say, let me see if that song that you're so crazy about would deliver you in your time of trouble. Let me see it do it. Huh? Let me see any of y'all secular music that you love so much that you shake, rattle, and roll off of. Let me see it deliver you in your time of trouble. Let me see you go pop that song on when you are distressed and depressed. And let me see you pop that song on and let me see that song bring forth some deliverance. My words to you is you're wasting your time. that was my words to you. You're wasting your time because it ain't happening, Houston. It ain't happening. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Jesus also said in Matthew 24, verse 37, he said, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, it's interesting. So he begins to tell us that just like it was in the days of Noah, that's how it's going to be now up to the coming of Christ's return. Okay? Hallelujah. See, Noah, spiritually speaking, represents the new man, the believer. Hallelujah. You know, Genesis, in the book of Genesis, it tells about Noah that Noah was perfect in his generation. He walked with God. He was complete. He not only preached that which was right, but he went to try to live it. And he was perfect with God. He walked with God. He talked with God. He communicated with God. But he was among evil people. And that's how it is today. You got the Noahs, the born-again believers, the ones who are walking with God, talking with God, who are among evil here in this world. Okay? Hallelujah. Noah was faithful to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the Holy Ghost witnessing to me about that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's what he represents, okay? See, that's why God was able to disclose the thing that was about to happen to him. The Bible said he was perfect in his generation. And that's who God can really reveal the deep things of his working of this kingdom to, is those that walk in with him, perfect in their generation. Not somebody that just preach it and don't want to live it. But they will preach it and live it. Okay? And you got some people today, they want to preach, but they don't want to live it. You got people preaching holiness, but they don't want to live holiness. They don't want to live it. Preach it, but don't want to live it. Okay? Because to them, it's boring. Amen. Hallelujah. It's boring. Thank you, Jesus. Like some of the men instead of being plain. They want to show off. See, it's just like, for example, in our dressing. And I want to say this distinctly and clearly. And I know some of you might say, oh, well, I don't agree with that, blah, blah. Okay, that's your preference. But even in our dressing, as men and women, we're at the point now. We're not dressing presentable. We're dressing desirable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it again. We're at the point now. I'm talking about church folks now. We ain't talking about them sinners. We know them sinners. It's dominated by the sin nature. No, I'm talking about the people who are professing to be believers. We're not dressing presentable now. We're dressing desirable. That's why we're wearing the tight stuff, the short stuff, the revealing stuff. Because, and then we said, well, I'm trying to be presentable. No, you're trying to be desirable. And some of you said, but nah, I'm married. I did. Now, it don't make no difference. Even with some of the men, you got your button-up shirt, but you ain't buttoned it all the way up. You got it open the way they can see the hair on your chest. And now many of y'all that's claiming to be Christians are popping earrings in your ear. You're not trying to be presentable. You're trying to be desirable. There's a difference. See, when you're trying to be presentable, it's just going to be, quote, plain. Desirable, you're going to go to an extra, extra, extra length to be noticed. And see, I thank God, because see, God brought that to me a couple of days ago about the dressing. And he showed me. He said, that's what's happening. He said, some of his people are not trying to dress presentable. They're trying to desirable. They want to call it presentable because they don't want to expose what they're trying to do. Just like you see people come to service. When you see Deacon Johnny come with the shirt with the earring in his ear and his shirt not all the way buttoned up, or he wear too little a shirt real tight because he just got finished coming from the gym. He's not dressing presentable. He's dressing desirable. That's why you got some of the women coming in there with the tightest or whatever on, that you afraid if they drop something, they got to tell somebody else where they pick it up for them because they can't bend over. They got stuff they wearing that's so tight, so short, or so revealing, they're not dressing presentable. They're trying to dress desirable. Amen. As Brother Kenny Hager said, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good now. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And see, Noah represents the new man. Hallelujah. He's a representation of the godly. Remember what it said in the book of Peter about Noah. It talks about how Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And the words of God bringing in the flood on the ungodly. The flood didn't take Noah, but he said the ungodly. So Noah was separated off, okay? And the Bible tells us in the book of Peter that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of equity, of true character and acts. Okay. He hallelujah. He preached righteousness. See, he tried to warn the people in his day. He tried to warn them. Hallelujah. I'm going to read one of these verses from the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he sent through his angel messenger. And it's called the third message that Jesus sent out. Hallelujah. June the 12th, 1927 through the Elijah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heed of Ahashata, our sister Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. And I want you to hear what he said. He said, the gospel must be preached. Get this. The Lord's coming is near. Once again, with no date given. And he said, the Lord's coming, October the 12th, 2026. He didn't say that at 10 p.m. Didn't say that. Okay. He said, behold. Now, you need to hear this real closely. This is a day when the world, with its greed for wealth and pleasure, must be what? Warned as in the days of Noah. See, Noah tried to warn the people. Pride and vanity have filled the hearts of men, and the law of the Lord is forgotten. Nor represent that believer who's trying to warn. I don't know how many of y'all saw that thing on YouTube about what happened between Kirk Franklin and that minister on the street that was preaching on the street. Okay. Now, some of y'all who may be gigantic Kirk Franklin, and I'm not speaking down on Kirk Franklin. I don't agree with some of the things he do. But some of y'all said, well, that man was wrong, blah, blah. I said, well, wait a minute. Kirk Franklin walked up to that man. That man was preaching, and he was warning. But what the point I want to get to is that he told Kirk Franklin why, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase it, why you in there performing and doing all this and that and James Brown's moves and all that. He said, you should have been warning the people. Well, you know what? He was telling the truth. Kirk Franklin couldn't say too much of that. He right. Listen, all of us as believers have the commission to warn. But also, if you are people like Kirk Franklin, say Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, who have, quote, a bigger platform. I'm talking about where you are dealing with thousands of people. You should be using that big platform to warn people. Now, once again, I'm not excluding none of us from warning that is not on a biggest platform where they have a lot. But they should be warning. But what's happening? There's no warning. Right now, just, I'm going to tell you what we're preaching. We're preaching the gimme God. Because God's going to, God just gimme all. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And we're preaching some of it in scripture that God will supply our need. But look what we stand at. You need a car, you need a house, you need money, God supply. Okay. Healing, God supply. Okay, that's true. But where's the warning? Repent. Repent of this. Repent. Get ready. Get ready. Where's that at? I tell you where it is. It's absent. It's like the child in the classroom. When you call his name out, he don't answer because he ain't there. I'm talking about when he's not there. He's not there. Can't answer. He ain't there. It ain't there. You have a few in the nation that's going out warning the people, and they being persecuted by church folks. At least the sinners is trying to do a little something to listen. It's the church folks that get out of my face. You can't judge me. That line is so, it's just ridiculous. It's pitiful. But I guess so you'll say, well, why should we care if we're going to be gone any minute? Huh? Why should I worry about doing it right? As long as I claim to be a believer and do some shouts and praises at times, I'm good. So that's what they think. Hallelujah. This, like I said, come to me today, this morning, about speaking on this. And basically, what we need to understand is that, first of all, when it comes to the day of Christ's return, let us just speak what the word says and leave it at that. You know, me personally, I'm too afraid to even try to come with a figure, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm too afraid to even talk about around. I don't even want to go around no number, okay? And sometimes we got to say exactly what Christ said and leave it at that. And if people ain't satisfied with it, then praise the Lord. You go on and keep living, okay? You can't get wrapped up because they upset at you or not satisfied because you told them exactly what Jesus said, that no man know the day or the hour. If they get mad at that, then that's them. And I ain't trying to be rude. I'm just being straight up. That's them. You know, sometimes I think we worry and when we shouldn't have, and we so caught up on the wrong stuff. We so caught up on what the people think, what they're going to think about it, what they're going to say, because we didn't give them such answer. I'd rather give them that answer right there, what Christ said, than to make up a number. Because once again, some of these people, and you need to hear this, that you are talking to, they are glued in on you, what you say. And if you said year 2027, guess what they're going to look for? Look for Jesus in the year 2027. Okay? And if in 2027 he ain't showed up, some of them are going to be looking for you. Amen. And the way we got Facebook and YouTube going along, you won't have to look hard to find what they you need, because you know how it is today. You know, even personal stuff, we just jumping all over Facebook and YouTube, just throwing it all up there. Man, privacy, what privacy? It was. Sad to say, Christians, it just went out the door. We just putting all our business and advertising, this and that. Man, it just got ridiculous. We losing respect for our own selves. But you know what? This is the days we're living in. This is the day that Christ warned us about and told us about. This is what's happening. Amen? This is what's going on. So, as I said in the beginning of the broadcast, I'm just going to let the Lord lead me, and I believe that that's what he just did. I was just the confirmation of his spirit to speak on this thing right here. Okay? So, once again, first I want to pray, and then I want to give a final word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for the very word of God and the spirit of truth. We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. And Father, we ask today in the name of Jesus that every soul that was listening, that they have been blessed by this message. Lord God, I pray they sense the presence of your spirit. You begin to work on their hearts in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, let everyone that comes to you and call upon your name in righteousness hear from you. Bless those that tune in to this broadcast. May you bless them, their family, their loved ones, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The final word I want to say is this. First of all, to those of you in the ministry, whether you're in the ministry or not, when it comes to the day Christ returns, stick with the word. Just say what Christ said exactly and leave it at that. Don't keep trying to make. Don't keep trying to estimate or guess the dates. I pray that you hear me, because I'm not trying to be funny. I got to be straight with you, because I know what this thing would do to some people, especially when they see how much tougher it's going to get. You said 2027 and 2022 come up and things have got rougher. Oh, they 2027 real harder, even harder now. 2026 come up and it got harder, tougher. Oh, they're looking for that 2027. And then when 2027 comes, they get up one morning and look around and say, I'm still here. Well, Brother Nate said 2027. He didn't know what he's talking about. Next thing you know, they looking for me, you know, to confront me, because you know how people get when they disagree. You know, they like to do stuff in the open, make a show of you. You know, some people do that. Like, they say, you told me 2027. Get just as loud in front of everybody. Okay. Amen. Praise be to God. So, once again, I thank God for his word. Thank God for his spirit. I thank God for all of you that are listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And may God bless you and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
God. Conquer death, hell.